Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. New year, new decade. Be future ready with Zurich, the power behind your pension.
Now, a man remains in a serious condition in hospital after his tent on the banks of the Grand Canal in Dublin was removed by an industrial vehicle on Tuesday afternoon as he slept. I've been speaking to Padraig Drummond. He's an outreach worker with Inner City Helping Homeless, and he worked with and had contact with this man, and he began by telling me more about him.
Well, we've been engaging with this man for approximately 6 months now on a nightly basis. We have different outreach drivers coming out to him each evening. But the man has been on the same location for approximately 3 months. He's been at the one location where the incident happened. Now, it wasn't the tent he was staying in. It was the bench beside it that he was sleeping on. He'd be there each night. Depending on the weather-wise, you know, he would always be on it. In bad weather.
So he slept on the bench beside the tent, but he did have a tent, Padraig.
Yeah, no, the tent wasn't his. The tent that the incident happened in belongs to a young couple. Yeah, roughly in their 30s. They've been staying there for the same amount of time as him. He would be on the bench. It's just unfortunate that he got into the tent and happened. The couple that were staying in that tent moved down to Bagotry Bridge only a couple of nights previously. So he had obviously gotten off of the bench and climbed into their old tent for shelter and was just unlucky for the incident to happen the next morning.
That he was there. What age man is he?
I'd roughly say around 35 to 40.
And what can you tell us about his circumstances? You know, how long he's been on the streets?
Well, as I was saying, you know, I've been engaging with him personally for approximately 6 months. Why he is on the streets, I don't know. You know, we wouldn't push for that information from him. We would just offer the services that we have. You know, try and get him accommodation in the council hostels and the likes of that. Provide him with clothing, sleeping bags, and the likes. You know.
And you were doing that,
That's what we've been doing the past while, you know, engaging, making sure he's healthy and offering him assistance down in Brother Kevin's, like the visits to the doctors and such, you know, if he had a cold or anything like that, you know.
And up to now, was he fairly healthy or is he fairly healthy?
He has been very healthy, yeah.
Do you know, has he addiction issues?
I don't, no. Any time I visit him, I haven't seen any paraphernalia around the bench. I haven't seen any spirit bottles or anything like that, you know, so I really don't know his personal situation.
And when you'd call in to visit him, Padraig, what would you chat about?
Well, obviously, it's just on the situation. Just trying to offer him to take a bed for the night in the hostels, but he wouldn't accept. He's never accepted the bed. Just would totally go against it.
And why?
He just repeatedly asked. Well, there's a lot of issues within the hostels themselves. Large amount of drug use being used in hostels, such as that, you know.
And was that his objection, the drug use?
Excessive drug use within the systems and, you know, violence as well.
Have you any idea how long he's been in Ireland?
I wouldn't, no. I've only been engaging with him for approximately 6 months, so.
And do you think, Padraig, he's a loner?
No, I have seen other foreign nationals there with him. Associating with him at times, you know.
And you say he was sleeping on a bench in the middle of winter. I mean, those circumstances by the canal, dreadful conditions.
He's not the only one. We have an elderly gentleman at the other end of the canal. He's in his 60s and he's sleeping out on the street, sleeping in a doorway.
And that reluctance.
They absolutely won't go near any of the services, any of the hostels. They're just point blank to refuse the assistance.
My colleague Della Kilroy was talking to some men sleeping in a tent on the canal yesterday, and they said one of their objections to going to a hostel, they said, was the hostel doesn't allow you to smoke once you go in there. And as this man said, he smoked since he was 14 years old.
Yeah.
And he said, you go in at 7 and you can't leave. Is that a situation that you'd be familiar with?
Well, I mean, there are safety issues within the hostels. I mean, if you have a dormitory room and you have 30 people sleeping on the floor of the dormitory room and every one of them is smoking, that's fire hazard.
Of course.
You know, so they have to have rules and regulations along those lines as well, you know.
Does the system need to operate as it does, though? Does it need to operate that people can only get allocated a place in a hostel when they phone a particular number?
The services is outdated. It's not acceptable for today's Ireland. With the influx of people coming onto the streets, both from housing issues and from addiction issues. I mean, there's zero wraparound services to offer people recovery within the services today.
What needs to change, Padraig?
Well, I mean, if you look at the city of Helsinki, they've eradicated homelessness through the services they offer, and it can be done here as well. I mean, they only have one hostel where you phone the free phone system. They send you to this hostel. When you go to that hostel, you're given a bed for the night, but they'll assess you for your addiction issues, and they will send you to the appropriate hospital for a six-month bed, and you will get the attention you need there, counselling, rehabilitate, drug rehabilitation, or whatever it is you need, and bring you back into society.
But what else have they done to eliminate this bed-for-a-night situation?
They haven't done anything. The same system in the past. I mean, I'm only volunteering with Inner City Help and Homeless now 5 years, and it hasn't changed once. When I started volunteering, there was about 3,000 people homeless in Ireland. Today, it's in excess of 10,000. So they're doing nothing. They're throwing plasters on the situation. They're skipping from one headline to the other and doing nothing to help the situation whatsoever.
What's a night like, Padraig, for you or your volunteer colleagues when you're out on the streets?
Well, no two nights are the same anymore. You know, last night I was out, I served, myself and my partner were out last night, I served 42 people last night. Every one of them with addiction issues and wouldn't accept the hostel bed. Now, I think there was over 95 people in total seen last night by the other two teams as well that were out on the streets. But no two nights are the same. I mean, we will go to what we call hotspots where they will hang out, where they do their begging and that, and it's the laneways off of that where they sleep and stay. I mean, today when we go up to visit them, like when I turn the next corner, I don't know what I'm going to see. You just don't know what you're going to see.
And are most of them sleeping in doorways, or, you know, how many of the 42 or the 92 seen last night by your organisation, how many would be in tents?
Last night, the only people we seen in tents was, and that was the gentleman, that was the gent who had the accident was in his tent. It was him and lads out in Fairview, in tents as well. I mean, they're scattered across the city at this stage.
But is that because tents are being removed on a regular basis?
Tents are being removed. I mean, the tents were removed along the canal until that accident happened. I guarantee you, within the next day or two, the tents will be popped back up where they were removed from.
So you're very familiar with this system of removing the tents. Does it go on? Does it go on every day?
It would happen in their areas. It's in different areas each day, like, you know, move from one side of the city to the other.
I suppose the reason that the tents are cleared away because businesses are upset or it can be detrimental to an area.
Yeah, to an area as well. I mean, removing the tents and you're only pushing it into another area. You're not solving the problem. They're just moving it onto another area, and the people in that area will ring and make complaints to the council, and then the council will come out and move. So, you know, it's just not working out. The system isn't working out for them. They need to engage with these people properly, offer them the wraparound services that is needed for recovery. And they're not doing that.
You're seeing no evidence of progress, are you? You're seeing no
evidence of progress whatsoever. Zero. The services aren't there. I mean, the people that work within these hostels, the staff, are amazing. I know a lot of them. They do fantastic work. But they can only work with what they have.
Are
those responsible for offering the help aren't doing it.
Are there some people who don't want help?
Well, a lot of people that are in addiction don't realise their situation. They're living in another world. It's not until they hit rock bottom and they start seeking help. But the help has to be there and offered to them. I mean, they call it the hostel merry-go-round. And they say that they're on the hostel merry-go-round for a minimum of 2 years before they will get the help that's needed. That the supervised detoxification and other wraparound services aren't available.
So there's no place to go. There's no place to look for help.
No place to go, yeah. No place to look for help.
And all the additional accommodation that has come on stream, Padraig, in Dublin over the last few years, with the attention that has been focused on the numbers who are homeless. You say that hasn't improved the situation for people on the streets.
It hasn't, no. I mean, I haven't seen it. I'm on the streets every second night of the week within a city helping the homeless, and I'm seeing no improvements. I'm seeing the same people day in, day out.
And that was Padraic Drummond, an outreach worker with Inner City Helping Homeless. Now, we're going to stay on this topic. This morning, Father Peter McVerry said that HICWA, the Health Information and Quality Authority, which is tasked with improving health and social care services, should be given responsibility to inspect homeless services. Here's what he said.
I think this shared accommodation is a disaster, and I think we really ought to be pushing for homeless people. The dignity of homeless people requires that they have their privacy and their safety at night time. I would like to see HICWA given the responsibility of coming in and inspecting homeless services. And I think if they did that, there would be a lot of hostels which would be closed down overnight.
Now, that was Father Peter McVerry speaking on Morning Ireland this morning. For more, I'm joined by the Chief Executive of HICWA, Phelim Quinn. Good evening.
Good evening.
What is your response to Peter McVerry there saying HICWA should take on the responsibility of monitoring? Should you? Could you?
Critically, HICWA is obviously an organisation set up by government to regulate in health and social care services. But I suppose what we have to acknowledge is that a wide range of the services that HICWA currently regulates in for older persons, persons with disability, children in the care of the state, is the regulation of services that are delivered to vulnerable people. And in more recent years, we have called for additional safeguards and protections to be afforded to other vulnerable groups. And it's interesting that in the last number of months, I think there has been an increasing call for some form of regulatory programme to be placed over things like direct provision and homeless services and prison services. And there has been a call for HICWA to be introduced into these types of services. I suppose, look, I have to acknowledge that we haven't been made aware specifically of any change in government policy around the extension of HICWA's remit into these services, but we are an experienced and competent authority, and should government ask us to do work in this regard, we would seriously consider it, yes.
So you have the skill set to take on this role. What would be the considerations for your organisation if you were to become the monitor of these shelters?
I think critically, there are a number of key issues, and I suppose the first thing that would be the legislation or the legal powers that would be afforded to an organisation such as HICWA to be able to actually deliver a programme of regulation. I think the second piece would be the issue of whether or not within that regulatory framework there would be either regulations or standards. And I think we have found that probably one of the most important pieces in driving improvement within services, because whilst regulation in itself can help improve services, I think the availability and the development of standards and regulations for service providers helps them drive improvement as well. And then obviously, should there be any decision in relation to the introduction of a regulation programme, obviously resources is a critical issue. And those resources are not just around inspection, as I say, they're for standards development, but also for engagement with service providers, ensuring that they understand what the expectations is of them within a regulation programme.
Yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with the hostels at this stage, or if you or any of your colleagues in HICWA have had reason to visit any of the homeless hostels.
No, we haven't, because, as I say, we haven't any specific
You have
remit,
no role at the moment.
Yeah.
But what would be the... And I appreciate what you're saying about regulations and standards and clear remits and all of that. But in terms of standards in relation to areas like cleanliness, safety, privacy, as Peter McVerry outlined there, the need for the dignity of the person to be respected, what would be the likely standards that you would seek to uphold in those circumstances?
Well, I think the human rights framework in itself provides the overarching standard for the program, our program of regulation within services to vulnerable people, it forms the backdrop to any of our own regulation programs. And I was very conscious of what Father Peter McVerry had said this morning in relation to things like privacy and the availability of a safe space for someone to be able to occupy that safe space and have somewhere to place their possessions, hang up their coat, and feel safe while they're asleep. And those are the sorts of things that we deal with within our inspection regime in services for people with a disability and in older person services. So, as I say, the competence and the skill set isn't that much different, and I don't necessarily believe that the framework will be that much different, but it's applied in context. It's applied in the context of homeless services.
You have the skill set, but do you have the resources right now? Would you need additional resources if you
take on this task? Yeah, no, there would definitely be a requirement for additional resources. I mean, HICWA has a very extensive programme of regulation currently, monitoring within the health sector as well as formal regulation within the adult and children's social care sector. And government have also got quite extensive plans for extension of HICWA's powers under the new Patient Safety Bill, and as well as that as part of an extension to the statutory home care scheme as well.
Okay, so a lot going on there. Thank you very much for joining us. The Chief Executive of HICWA there, Phelim Quinn.